Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Which is why we've got Dakota Wood on the line with us right now. He's a senior research fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Dakota, it's great to speak with you today.
Great to be with you. I'm also a former St. Louis person.
You are? Are you a Cardinals fan?
Yeah.
That's the first question. Well, I have to...
This is back in the 60s and 70s. There's a lot has changed since then.
Sure. The 60s and the 70s weren't too bad for the St. Louis Cardinals, at least. Yeah. Well, Dakota, we've been watching what's been taking place in the Middle East with Iran. We've seen a lot of action on the Strait of Hormuz, and it has me concerned because I don't know enough of what's going on to know whether to fret or not. What's your reaction to the news you've seen coming out of that region?
Well, it clearly demonstrates that Iran has a pattern of behavior that's lasted for 40 years, where they used violence, the threat of violence, nuclear blackmail here recently, just all these sorts of negative tools to try to impose their will or to get their way. So to our European allies who want to talk our way out of this kind of thing, it's not going to work. The only reason Iran is lashing out the way it is because the Trump administration's use of the economic lever of national power is really causing some pain in Iran. And so the Iranian regime is lashing out on that. And this is something that the Europeans don't quite accept or they don't understand. And I think it's going to take a little more pain directed at them for them to finally get the message.
How much of what Iran is doing is posturing or is, just to get the attention of the world stage? And how much of it is getting to the point now where the United States is going to maybe have to take some sort of action?
Well, I think it's both of those things. I think that Iran is going to continue to lash out as a way to get the Europeans in particular to put pressure on the United States to provide relief on these economic sanctions. So, if you can't do it directly with the U.S., you get friends of the U.S. to try to pressure. So they're going to continue to do that. But as that ramps up, especially if it threatens the flow of energy, not to the U.S., we're not dependent on Middle Eastern oil, but to our partners and allies like England and Japan and other countries, it may take us slapping them back a bit. So, if these speedboats come out or they use some kind of an unmanned system to attack or repel, soldiers onto the deck of a tanker like they did with this British oil freighter, they may have to find some kind of response from the United States because nobody else in the region can do that at the moment. And that's why you see Secretary Pompeo telling the Brits, hey, you have to take care of your own ships. We can't handle all of that load. We're trying to get our allies involved in this mess.
What's the global support right now, at least on for the United States? Mm-hmm. And President Trump has, I think people are not talking about this as much as they maybe could be, the hesitation that he had in attacking them because he said it was not an equal response,
right,
where he chose not to strike and potentially kill 150 people. I think that puts him in a better position to have some global support because he didn't take that initial action. Does he have allied support in the efforts that he's making right now?
I agree with your assessment on that. Privately, everybody is happy with the United States doing what it's doing. Publicly, they're pushing back because, in particular, the Europeans don't have the military capability to do anything. That's why they default to the rhetoric, diplomatic actions and those kinds of things. But Britain is now talking about imposing its own sanctions with the seizure of this tanker, right? So because Iran shot down an unmanned system, even though it was in international waters, I think the president rightly decided that we didn't need a kinetic, an explosive charge at the end of a missile to destroy equipment or people on the other end of that. That is always an option that you can exercise. And so I think in this way, he took the diplomatic and moral high ground. It blunted the criticism that he's a warmonger and trying to see some kind of military action in the Gulf, which was absolute nonsense. you're going into an election cycle, the last thing you want to do is start a war. But it has to be sending a message to Iran that we're not going to tolerate them sponsoring terrorism, threatening the destruction of Israel, impacting the flow of international commerce through these very strategically important waters. So I think he's got support. It's just going to take a while for these other countries to really admit to their own publics that they don't have much capability to do anything else than talk.
You know, John Kerry's conversations with Iran have brought a lot of people questioning his motivation, what he said, how that those conversations took place, but maybe suggested that once Trump was out of office, that things could maybe go back to the way that they used to be. And you're talking about how we are going into an election year. What is the timing of all of what is taking place right now in proximity to November 2020?
Well, I mean, you know, the president sitting where he's at, I think if I were advising him, make the case that I came into office, you know, if I was president, he came into office with China having built islands and militarized them in the South China Sea, a nuclear capable North Korea, this very aggressive, violence-prone Iran, and Russia that is reasserting itself in the Arctic and in Europe. All that happened prior to him coming into office. And so now his much more kind of aggressive forward posturing is really pointing to the failures of the establishment, you know, the foreign policy elite in D.C. and other capitals. And people just, you know, rebel at that. You know, they're being told that their efforts weren't credible and they weren't fruitful. And so this idea from John Kerry and others to go back to the way things were, you know, is just silly. And so, you know, when you're finally calling somebody on the carpet like China or Iran or what have you and telling them we're not going to tolerate any of this sort of behavior, they're going to, you know, it'll generate friction. They're not going to take that lightly. And unfortunately, the standard way of doing things has gotten us to this point. And so if we don't do the things that I think the Trump administration is doing and willing to do, it'll just get worse, and that our competitors see opportunity, they see the United States is weak or not willing to stand up to protect our interests, and we would even have a worse hand to play in future years. So I think the Trump administration needs to continue what they're doing, and as long as I think they keep that narrative, that message out there, I think it'll play well in the foreign policy and national security debates going into the presidential election cycle next year.
We're speaking with Dakota Wood, the senior research fellow at the Heritage Foundation, online at heritage.org. President Trump came into this administration as a businessman. He was a deal maker, and he had positioned himself to be more isolationist than I think he would want to be talking about, even that W word being on the tip of your tongue and mine. I think that is not what he wanted to get himself into, but the situation warrants the attention for sure. How do you assess President Trump and Secretary of State Pompeo's handling of the situation so far, considering how he came into the office?
Right. Well, on the campaign trail, and then certainly at his inaugural speech, when he talked about an America First policy, that was seen by his critics as isolationist, and that was not the case. What he was saying is, when we make decisions on trade relationships, on foreign policy initiatives, military action, whatever that is, that decision should be made through the lens of what is in America's best interest, and not just spending our blood and treasure, you know, supporting the efforts of everybody else around the world who isn't wanting to pony up at the same level, right? So the America First was seeing to the security, the wealth, and the opportunity of America, and where other people benefit from that, it actually ripples back to improve our situation as well. I mean, we want strong trade relations. You can't buy and sell things with weak countries, so we would much rather see Japan and Australia and France and everybody else doing well, too. That's a good story. So, you know, this approach of being a bit more hard-headed and dealing with these really bad actors like Iran and North Korea, you know, again, I think it's bearing fruit. We're seeing that because they're rebelling against it, and that the previous efforts to provide just diplomacy, just rhetoric, you know, got us to the point that, you know, he's having to deal with the world as it is. So it's not isolationist. I think it's very much what's in the interest of America, and again, he needs to keep on with that. And I think we'll see some real progress here in the next year or so.
I got about a minute left here. Last question for you. Do you see any consequence or benefit to the transfer of power to any of these Democratic 2020 candidates based on the current situation that we have at hand?
Well, domestically, it would be disastrous. I mean, you know, the types of social programs that they've all been recommending are really veering hard to the left there, and it would be an extraordinary load on the Treasury. Were we talking about having to raise the debt ceiling? And if you had trillions more public spending, you know, tax rates, et cetera, go through the roof. So domestically, it would really be a bad outcome. Diplomatically and foreign policy-wise, we would just go back to the era of the Clinton administration and the Obama administration, and we saw how that worked out. So, I'm hopeful that we maintain a strong America First kind of approach going forward.
Well, Dakota Wood with the Heritage Foundation, we really appreciate your time here, and we'll be reaching back out to you as we continue to watch what's taking place in Iran.
Thank you. Good to talk with you. Thanks.
Absolutely.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.